Before I begin my sermon, I just want to give a, what do they call it, a shout out to those people who served on VBS, Vacation Bible School. Thank you. It was wonderful to see many children. We had over 60 children come and many, many volunteers. And so you spent like the whole day here, Monday through Friday, and there's certainly a lot of work in preparation of that as well. And so I think everything went really well, and we're grateful and thankful to many, many people. Praise the Lord for what you've done. So thank you. This morning I want to talk a little bit about money, okay? And we're not trying to raise money for expansion, okay? We kind of said that, we got the price tag for renovating the new building, 120 Shawmut, and, you know, to add worship space and that kind of thing. It's like $25 million. And we said, we better think and pray about this, make sure this is where God wants us to do. And we're not quite the end of our church fiscal year. That comes at the end of September. And so we're not, like, even though you've got an insert this week about the giving, it's not like, we're in a crisis situation and that kind of thing. However, there are financial needs. The income and expenses currently are okay, but in relationship to our budget is our plan for spending this year. It's below that budget, and so people are concerned about, especially our leaders, concerned about, are we going to make the budget this year? Should we put off some of our spending? Maybe even delay some hiring or things like that. And so a lot of it are people looking at these numbers. I mean, for instance, we have roof leaks in this building. You know, it's an old church building. And instead of putting buckets where the water leaks, we should fix it, right? But it costs a lot of money to fix a slate roof, you know? And so there's a question of, should we spend the money to fix it, or do we just keep putting buckets there or whatever? And so the reason for the sermon is not like, we have some, you know, crisis financial situation like we did, like the boiler, you know, went out and, you know, during the winter, and we need your, you know, unexpected expenses. But, you know, there are certain needs and continuing needs, but we're not trying to raise money. But the reason for the sermon is to raise children, all right? Raise God's way of raising His children to be like Jesus Christ. Because giving is a part of discipleship, all right? That discipleship means that we are growing to be like Jesus in the way we think, in the way we feel, in the way we act. And you may think, well, did Jesus say that much about money? Well, there are 38 parables in that Jesus taught. Out of those 38, 16 of those parables deal with how to handle money or possessions. In the Gospels, there are 500 verses on prayer, right? But there are more than 2,000 verses about money and possessions. And so it seems like it was a priority for Jesus. Sure, prayer is a priority, but our giving, our use of possessions is very, very important. In fact, it is an indicator of our spiritual level. One of my professors at Dallas Seminary, Dr. Ryrie, wrote this: how we use our money demonstrates the reality of our love for God. In some ways, it proves our love more conclusively than the depth of knowledge, length of prayers, or prominence of service. These things can be things, but the use of our possessions shows us up for what we actually are. And so, yes, our giving can be a true indicator of our maturity in Jesus Christ. And so we're not trying to raise money as we are trying to raise children, God's children, to be like Christ, to be mature. And we'll be looking at this passage that comes at the end of the first letter to the Corinthian church. And it's something that, and I'm going to be just sharing from two verses this morning. Just two verses. But these two verses are loaded with things that are very practical and very important to us. In fact, I'm going to have 6 points. All right? Normally, you know, you always say, oh, three. This time it's six. 6 points. And they all begin with P. So, you know, and you'll see it on your outline. But I even thought of a point before those P's, even. Look at verse 1. It says, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. In other words, this was a practice, I mean, another P, you see, of all the churches. It said, this is what I told the churches in Galatia, and also, and you also are to do. Okay? So this is something that God wanted the entire church to take notice of, these two verses. And I mentioned that there are 6 points, and they all begin with P. So the first one is give purposefully. Purposefully. All right? And under that, I have two subpoints, that we are to give purposefully for the saints, that is, to others, to those that are in need. It mentions here, the first verse, now concerning the collection for the saints. What is he talking about? Well, if you read the context and you look at even verse 3, it talks about the fact that they were collecting money in the Corinthian church, right, to give to the Christians that are in Jerusalem. And it seems like in Jerusalem there was a famine. There was great physical needs among the Christians that were in Jerusalem. And so Paul is asking these churches, particularly here in Corinth, which is a Greek city filled with lots of Gentiles, to care about these Jewish people, these Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. And so we are to give purposefully. So there was a need, and we need to be motivated by love. And it can cross various barriers. It can cross geographical barriers and ethnic barriers because of our love for Christ. This morning I was at Chinatown, and we commissioned the Dominican Republic team. And we had, you know, all these families with children, and they see the insert in your program. You'll see that, you know, some of the pictures of the people, some of the families that are out there, and some of the singles that are involved. And they are going, you know, this is a Chinese, mostly Chinese church, Christians going to Dominican Republic, right? You know, if you know what, where's the Dominican Republic? Well, that's where, you know, baseball player Ortiz is from, all right? You're wondering where that is. Shares the island with, you know, Haiti. And so they're going there to help a church there, right? And so, and certainly within our church, we have a charity fund, we have a missions fund, and primarily helps people that are not in our church, but somewhere else. And so, yes, there are needs within our church as well, but we also think about needs elsewhere as well. And so that's part of giving purposefully, to giving to the needs that are out there. But it also means, purposefully means to give to the Lord as well. And where do I get that? Well, in verse 2, it says, on the first day of every week. That this collection was to take place when? Sunday. What did they do on Sunday? Worship God. And so this was supposed to be part of their worship. It's not just to meet the needs of people, but this was going to be an act of worship as well. Now you may be wondering, wait a minute, I thought, doesn't the Old Testament say we're supposed to worship on the Sabbath and the seventh day of the week? And yeah, in the Old Testament, they were in part of the Ten Commandments, you were supposed to, you know, keep the Sabbath, keep it holy. But that command, unlike the other Ten Commandments, are not found in the New Testament. We're not commanded in the New Testament to keep the Sabbath. But instead, Christians began to worship on the first day of the week, Sunday. And started with John chapter 20, verse 19, when Jesus appeared to his disciples on the first day of the week, the day that he was resurrected. And that seemed to be the pattern of the New Testament, that they worship on the first day of the week. All that to say that giving purposefully means giving to God, giving in worship to God. That's part of our worship to God. We see in Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel brought offerings to the Lord. And so part of worship is offering to the Lord, sacrificing what God has given to you to the Lord. We honor Him. We acknowledge that He is our provider. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. And so we recognize that as we worship the Lord, as we give to His work, we are honoring Him. We're glorifying Him. So part of being giving purposefully is not only giving to need, but giving to the Lord to honor Him. In fact, if you were to read these two verses in context, you'd be actually surprised at what comes before this. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, is a chapter that talks about the gospel. It talks about the resurrection. It talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It talks about the believer's resurrection, you know, in the future. And so in the midst of talking about these heavenly, glorious topics, this is how Paul concludes chapter 15. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And then he starts chapter 16. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints. It's almost like, well, we're going to take a commercial break here or something, you know, right? But you might say, well, it's not even connected. No, it is connected. Because as we recognize these important spiritual truths about the resurrection of Christ, of our future resurrection, we should be praising God. We should be worshiping God. And part of that includes giving to His work. And so as we give purposefully, you know, that we need to recognize it's part of honoring God, worshiping God, as well as meeting needs. Now, please don't misunderstand that giving to the Lord's work is not a way to earn salvation. I think sometimes people misunderstand that. That they think that, oh, God will give me salvation forgive my sins if I do all these things for Him. Whether it be giving money to the church, whether it be serving in the church, or it be helping people, and all those things are good. But they don't earn our way to heaven. All right? That salvation is a free gift from God. God did all the work. We cannot pay God back for our salvation. But we can show our appreciation through worship of God. So give purposefully. Second major point, give periodically. Verse 2, on the first day of every week. Okay, we saw that. So here I want to emphasize the fact that it is regular. Regular. It's every week. Now, it could be that people could give a lump sum at the beginning of the year or at the end of the year. And is that okay? You know? Why talk about doing it every week? You know, maybe because those people were being paid every week, I don't know. But I was thinking about how we have this practice, and it's not a command, but many of us give thanks to God before we partake of the meal. And we bow our heads and we, quote, say grace, right? We thank the Lord for the food. And we do it usually at the beginning of each meal. But what if we said, well, I'm waking up on New Year's Day, I'm having my oatmeal on, you know, New Year's Day morning, and I say, well, I want to thank God for this food, and this applies to everything for the rest of the year, right? Now, would that work? Yeah, in some sense, but what's the point of doing it every day, every time you eat? It's a reminder for us, right? It's a reminder to us. And so I think giving each week is a reminder for us. And so that we recognize that all that we have comes from God. I know some of you may give to the church electronically, right? You set it and forget it, right? You might say, right? You say, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to give this amount of money and my bank's going to take care of it and I don't have to worry about it, right? Maybe that's not such a good thing. Maybe that's why we have a portion of our worship service for offering. You know, whether you actually physically give at that time, or you give electronically, or you give once a month when you're paid or something, I think we need to be engaged when we're giving. That at that time, maybe you could just, yes, Lord, I thank you for your giving. Giving to me, first of all your blessings, and I want to give my, you know, my offering to you. I give myself to you, right? And so, I remember there are people who, some churches have offering in the lobby. You know, they don't want to have offering. You know, they feel like, oh, that might be too much pressure on people. But I think it's good to have it as part of our worship service, so that we acknowledge God as our provider and we are reminded of His goodness in our lives. So we are to give purposefully, we are to give periodically. Thirdly, we are to give personally. And it mentions here, each of you. Each of you. And, you know, the church at Corinth, you know, it was a pretty big commercial town. And a lot of trading went through there because it was at an isthmus, if I say that, right? You know, narrow strip of land, remember that? And anyways, there's lots of trade that was going through there. So it was a fairly wealthy town. But they also had a lot of poor people in that church. And they were even slaves in that church as well. And Paul is not saying, well, you rich people, you ought to give. No, he says, each of you, rich or poor, all need to participate. Because it's not so much the amount that you give, but it's your heart. Jesus, in Mark chapter 12, was observing this widow, right? And this, all these other people were giving large sums of money. But this poor widow, she gave two copper coins, which just a little bit represented a small amount of money. Yet Jesus commended that widow because she gave all that she had, right? And so it's not so much the amount as the sacrifice that is involved. And so each of you should participate. I know some of you, particularly on this side, are, you know, students. You don't have much money, you know. But maybe if you're getting a summer job, hey, you need to give. You get New Year's money, you get birthday money, all these different things. God blesses you in different ways, and all of us need to participate. Because Jesus said in Luke 16, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And so be faithful even a little bit, even though you may say, oh, what I give is not significant. In God's eyes, it is significant. So, third point was to give personally, each of us. Point number four, give proportionately. Give proportionately. As it mentions here, as He may prosper. That is, as God has prospered us with our income, with our assets, we need to recognize all of it belongs to God. He is the one who gave it to us in the first place. You might say, well, I worked hard for this money. Yeah, maybe you did. But who gave you the strength to do it? Who gave you the mind to do it? Who gave you the opportunities to do it? It is God. He gives you all this. And so as God prospers you, we need to give proportionately. If He were to say, I want it all, we should give it to Him. But He doesn't ask for all. He gives us, asks us for, you might say, a token of our love, a symbol of our love. And so that's why we give a portion. And for many people, they think that it should be 10%, okay? And which is called a tithe. And so we see that in Genesis 14, Abraham gave 10% of the spoils that he won in a battle. And but it's not a command there. It just says this is what he did. This is what he practiced. And so it's not something that says you have to do it. Now there are some Old Testament laws that talk about if you are a part of the nation of Israel, you need to give a tithe, the 10%. In fact, there were multiple tithes, you know, a tithe on top of a tithe, and et cetera, which added up to about 23% of your money. And so if you really want to be legalistic about it, you could argue you should give it like 23%. But we also should recognize that Israel was a nation as well. And so this was sort of like their income tax, you might say, as well. It supported the government of Israel. And so that was part of their giving, required giving. And then on top of that, the Jewish people could give what is called a free will offering. That it is something that you motivated by your love for God that you would give this amount. And so in the New Testament, in the church, there's no requirement, there's no command to give a tithe. Even in this portion of Scripture, he could have said, you should give 10%. No, he just says, as he may prosper, right? So there's not a command. So I would say, I believe in what is called a voluntary tithe, okay? That is, it's not required of you. You can't say, oh, you're supposed to give 10%. No, it's out of your free will that you want to do this. And 10% is a good number to at least start with. Now, some of you may not be able to give 10%. You're in debt, perhaps. You can't give 10%. But some of you could give more. That God has blessed you with so much more that 10% is really too small. And we need to think about not only our income, but also what God has blessed us in terms of assets and appreciation. You know, now I guess the stock market is going up these days, right? So a lot of you made lots of money, you know, if you were in the stock market. Your houses, right? If you own any houses, you've made lots of money. Are you going to tithe that? Are you going to give that to the Lord? As God has prospered you. So you should think about that. And so it's not so much how much you give as how much you have left. And that's why perhaps instead of just saying a tithe, I said we should give sacrificially. Sacrificially. Because a lot of times, the more that we have, the more we spend on ourselves, right? And but we don't think about how about God and giving more to Him. But we should think about what's sacrificial. There's a story in the Old Testament how King David wanted to build a temple for God, and so he looked for a suitable place. And he found some land that was good for the temple he wanted to build for God. But the landowner wanted to donate it, give it to David, so to build this temple. But David, King David said this, "No, I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." And so he's saying, to really worship God, I need a sacrifice. It's not like, oh yeah, I got all this extra money and whatever, and it means nothing. No, it's going to be sacrificial. You've heard the expression, no pain, no gain, right? Well, maybe in this situation it is no pain, no worship, right? That as you're giving, it should hurt a little bit. I'm not saying, you know, we should be painful, but in the sense that it's meaningful in terms of what we're giving. And that is true worship. It costs us something. George Mueller from the 1800s wrote this, "God estimates what we give by what we keep. For it is possible to bestow large sums and yet reserve so much larger amounts that no self-denial is possible. Such giving to the Lord costs us nothing." Right? And so we are to give proportionately. So maybe a good way to, is it 10%? Is it, you know, whatever? We should give sacrificially. That should be the idea, proportionately. Okay. The fifth P, give without pressure. Give without pressure. It mentions here in these verses, so that there will be no collecting when I come. So Paul is saying, you do all the collecting before I come to visit you. Because he knows if he, the Apostle Paul, comes into the church at Corinth and he looks at them and, you know, people, oh yeah, I want to give more and all this kind of thing, that it's not out of, you know, he could raise more money that way, perhaps, but his purpose is not to squeeze them for more money. He wants them to give with a pure motive. In the second letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9:7, "Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." All right? So God is interested in our motives. As He's raising us up as His children, as His disciples, to be like Christ, He wants us to give with pure motives, not because we feel pressured. When I first came to BCEC, this is in the 70s, okay? Okay. They had a practice of posting all the contributions and what people gave on a bulletin board. Okay? So you could go to this bulletin board and they said, Steve Chin, you know, $10 or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And it was like, whoa, you know? And you could see that because of that practice, people could say, gee, I only gave $10. Maybe I should give $20. It looks better. You know, I feel pressure. You know, look at those other people, they're giving hundreds. I should give more, right? And I was a student in those days, by the way. So anyways, but, you know, you could feel pressured to give. Or you could feel like, oh, I'm going to look really good if I give few hundred bucks, you know, here, you know, and everyone will think I'm really spiritual, I'm really generous, you know, I'm going to give more because everyone's going to see it, right? So you could feel pressured to give. And Paul is saying, don't do this. You know, don't give because you're pressured to give. Give because you want to give. And so that should be our motivation, that we want to give because we love the Lord. Not to show off to others, not because we're guilted by other people, but because we love the Lord. And then lastly, we need to give with a plan. We need to give with a plan. It says in these two verses, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper. So people were to put aside, store it up to give to the Lord, right? So it's not like, you know, oh, the worship leader, oh, time for offering. Then you just quickly look at your wallet. Nope, only a dollar here. Okay, put in a dollar. Because I gotta spend $5 on my lunch, you see, so I only give a dollar, right? So it's not like spontaneous, like, what should I give? You know? Oh, you know, in Chinatown they gave this, it has a couple of missionaries here. Okay, I'll give a couple extra bucks, you know, or something like that, you know? So we need to have a plan. We need to have intention. We need to, like, okay, I want to give God this much. I'm going to spend maybe less on other things so that I can give more to God's work, okay? And so we need to give with a plan. I remember there was a couple of times even that in worship services, sometimes we had a worship leader who forgot the offering. All right. I mean, you know, just in the midst of everything, and he's so nervous, and he forgot the offering. I had to remind them, okay, offering, you know. Oh, yeah. Okay. But what if we forgot the offering? You know, some people would be really upset and say, oh, it's like a snow day. You know, we got no $0, you know, for that week. But if we're all mature Christians, it shouldn't make any difference. Right? Because we all have a plan. We said, we're going to give God this much, and it doesn't matter if they collected the offering, I'll give it next week, right? Or if you're going on vacation. A lot of you are like, okay, well, I wasn't here, so okay, I guess I don't have to give. Or they forgot the offering this week. Okay, I'm going to go out and spend it on an expensive meal because I didn't have to give offering this week, right? That's how some people think. But if you are a mature Christian, you're going to say to yourself, I've set aside, I have a plan, I'm giving to the Lord X amount of dollars each week, and I'm going to do it. And it's not because someone's going to send me a bill or anything else like that, because this is my plan, this is my intention. And so, so all of us need a plan and go back and think and evaluate how has God prospered me? What has He given to me? I mean, certainly, again, we can't pay God back for His salvation, but we can give a token of our love. We can evaluate how God has blessed us materially. And yeah, it may not be the most highest paying job, but maybe it is. Maybe some of you maybe are recent graduates and gotten jobs. Have you thought about, oh, I need to give to the Lord? Or you had a summer job, right? Or you got a promotion, or you got a raise, right? And so think about how God has prospered you and how you can sacrifice to give to the Lord. And yes, it's certainly, there are lots of needs within our church. For instance, I was reminding the people in Chinatown, it costs us $3,000 a week to rent the school. Okay? But we have no choice because we don't have a sanctuary big enough for that many people. And so it costs us $3,000 a week. You know, and people think, oh, it's free or whatever. It's not free. It costs money. And we need everyone to be involved in giving as much as we can. We mentioned about the roof leaks in this building. We say, oh, should we, people, our deacons are thinking, should we spend the money to fix the roof? Or do we just keep putting a bucket there, you know? And if it's your house, you probably say, oh yeah, we need to fix it, right? But we're not sure if the income will come in. We're not sure. And so as we get closer to the end of the fiscal year, we'll be looking at it. And some of our deacons looked at our giving. They found 41% of our giving units gave less than $500 a year. 41%, almost half, gave less than $500 a year, which is $10 a week. Okay? Less than about $10 a week. And so we have lots of students. We have lots of elderly people. But are we as a church and each of us giving as God has prospered us? You see, that's a question. So again, I'm not trying here to raise money. God, it's God's way of raising His children to be like Christ. Last weekend, I went to visit my daughter, Stephanie. And she just had a second child, a son, friend. But the oldest one is 3 years old, Madison. And, you know, when Stephanie was a little girl, when she was growing up, I tried to teach her to give thanks, you know, to thank people for when they give thanks. So let's say she's sitting in her high chair and she's saying, I want a snack, you know. And so I come with the snack, put it on her tray there, but I don't release it. And she's like trying to grab it out of my hand, whatever. And then she recognizes, oh, thank you, and I release it. All right? That's my way of teaching her to say thanks, right? And it may sound very mechanical at the beginning, but I think she got it because I saw her doing the same thing with her daughter last week. Exactly the same thing, right? Because she was trying to teach her how to say thank you as well. She just held it until she said thank you and then she let it go. So God is teaching us how to be more generous, how to be less selfish, right? And God wants us to look at our giving. And it's in light of how much we spend on everything else, you know, that whether it be electronic gadgets, going out to eat, clothes, all those kinds of things. And I'm not saying, again, they're wrong, but how much do you give to the Lord? You know, do you value Him? Do you honor Him with your giving? Are you sacrificing for Him? So God is concerned with about our hearts. So Jesus, and this is the last thing, said in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God is concerned about our heart. It's not about the amount of money and all that kind of thing. He's concerned about our hearts. And so whether you're rich or poor, young or old, or whatever, student or, you know, working, God is concerned about our hearts. And He wants to raise up a generation of His children who are going to be like Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for these two verses that are so packed with things that we need to learn. As we reflect about our giving, and we have already had the offering already, are we filled with regret and say, maybe I should have given more? Or are we saying, yeah, this is what God wants me to give? But we're thankful that You're a God that gives us more opportunities, and so help us to think through, to have a plan for next week, in the coming weeks, that It's not an emotional giving out of appeal or guilt, but because we love you. We want to honor you. We want to sacrifice for you. We know that we can't repay you for the salvation, but we want you to feel love as we have been so blessed by you. And so we pray that you would teach us, raise us up as your children to be like Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.